If the Lord wills, I'm going to be doing a series of teachings, and I've done this in the past, but I really feel the Lord is calling me to do this, on overcoming strongholds. And I believe that God is going to be setting people free, even in here. And God is going to be identifying things that you may not even realize are there.
Thank you, Lord.
That God wants to liberate you from. So that you will be, as Jesus said, free indeed. God wants His people free. It's like Sister Kathleen said, we can't help people if we're all hung up. If we're all bound up, right? God wants us all to get free. And do you know that we're all going through a process? I am. You are. We're all in this together. So it's not like, I'm glad I'm not like that brother over there. Amen? Or look how spiritual I am and look how unholy they are. How many know that your righteousness is not going to carry you? Amen? It's not going to cut it with God. My righteousness is not enough. I need His righteousness. Righteousness comes as a result of you and I coming into agreement with God. You and I receiving the Word of the Lord and saying, the Word is good. It's my life. It's my bread. I live, I feed on the Word of God. I anticipate, I expect, I listen for the voice of my shepherd speaking. Because when He speaks, His commandment is love. His commandment is life. His commandment is liberty. He is not here to make us miserable. God came to give us life. That we might have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many want righteousness, peace, and joy? Hallelujah. So you've got to get freed up. You've got to get the garbage out. When we come to Jesus, you're not finished. Amen. It begins a process. God accepts you. The blood covers you. But God begins to work some of this stuff out of our lives little by little. But yet, folks, if we will cooperate with God, it will come a lot faster and a lot easier.
Amen.
To the point where you are free. Where you're not bound by anything. Your past no longer dictates your future. You are set free from those things that were. Because you're living in what is. The new day that Christ has brought you into. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That reality must be revealed to us by revelation. The Holy Spirit will reveal to us our identity in Christ. And the reason why we're so dysfunctional in our lives is because we don't really know who we are yet. We don't know who Jesus is yet, and we don't know who we are. And you can't know who you are until you get to know Him. There's a lot of people that are searching for themselves. Well, when you find yourself, you're not going to like what you see. Come on. And hopefully that will be the case with you if you don't believe that. You first need to take a look at yourself and say, I'm a wretch. Yes. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Amen.
That saved a wretch like me.
Yes.
You've got to come to a place where you realize you're a wretch.
Yes.
Amen. And that you need God's grace. You need His mercy. You need His forgiveness. And that means all of us need His grace.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, yes. And when we think we're so spiritual, then God turns the heat up a little bit more. And He'll boil a few other things up to the surface just so you'll realize you cannot depend on your own righteousness.
Amen.
You cannot live in the grace that you give yourself. A lot of people give themselves grace. Doing a pretty good job. Right on. Self-esteem. Right on. You're something. Do you know it's God who esteems you? When God esteems you, it's not something you have to defend. It's not something you have to try to convince yourself about. When God esteems you, you know that your heart is right with Him. You don't have to try to improve or appease or please people. When you have peace with God, life is good in the God zone. You don't have to please everybody. People who have been in the Lord for a long time come to a place of rest in their walk where they no longer have to please people. Maturity is coming to a place where I don't have to please people. But the Bible says that if a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, He will make him even to be at peace with people also. Hello? So we need to take a look at things. It's not always that we're necessarily going to be offensive, because sometimes it's our own arrogance that causes offense. It's getting quiet in here. And then we can justify ourselves and say, well, I'm suffering for Jesus. No, you're suffering because you're a knucklehead. Because you're not using wisdom. I've been a knucklehead, have you?
Amen.
Okay, I'm in good company here today. We've all done it, right? So we're learning how to love. We're learning how to walk. We're learning how to entreat the Word peaceably and with gentleness and respect. Amen? And sometimes when you do that, even with gentleness and respect, it is going to be offensive. But we don't live to please people. We live to please God. But the Lord had delivered Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. He carried them on eagle's wings. You know, He, by His grace, carried them out. He made provision for them where their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes on their back. Amen. God took care of them. He fed them with water from the rock and from manna from heaven. And then they began to complain, and God gave them quail. And you know how the story goes. It was a great deliverance. And we need to understand something, folks, that what Jesus had done on the cross, amen, is an eternal act. It's something that God has accepted. What God has done is He has accepted the sacrifice of His Son on our behalf. He died for us so we could go free. So the debt of sin has been paid for by the blood of Jesus, so that we could be delivered out of bondage to sin. He took care of the sin problem at the cross. So God's people can be free from the dominion and the power of sin. Are you with me?
Yes.
And so that we can walk in freedom in Christ. And so through revelation, through the Word, we're coming to an understanding, a realization of who we are and what Christ has done for us, so that by faith we can grab a hold of the Word of God and receive it for ourselves. When God speaks His Word to you, it is very personal. I love you. I died for you. I shed my blood for you. He died for me. He loves me. He rose for me. He ever lives to make intercession for me. It's personal to me. Jesus loves me. Do you know Jesus really loves you?
Yes.
He demonstrated His love for us at the cross. When Jesus said, "It is finished," folks, it is the debt of sin had been paid. Amen?
Yes.
And that means that now there's been a fountain that's been opened up to you and I. Because the veil in the temple had been rent, amen, from top to bottom. And the way into the holiest has been opened to us. So now, the grace of God is free to all who will come through the way of repentance. Repentance is agreeing with God's Word. Repentance is changing my mind about the way I've been thinking and the way I've been living. Repentance is saying God's way or no way. When I agree with the counsel of God, with the Word of God, I'm opening the way for the grace of God to come and fill my life. When John said, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make His path straight," he's saying, get into alignment. Get into agreement with what the Lord says. If the Lord says stop, you stop. If He says go, you go. You agree with the Word of God. And when you do so, you open the way. But when we're wise in our own understanding and we try to make deals with God and we want to come to God's Word as a smorgasbord, pick and choose, I like this, I don't like that, well, you're shutting down the flow of God's grace and mercy to you when you pick and choose what you're going to obey. Come on. When we pick and choose what we're going to obey, we're shutting down the flow of God's grace and His mercy. And sometimes to appease our conscience, there's some people that are really good at just, you know, giving themselves grace then. Oh, God understands. He understands that you're in rebellion. And because you're in rebellion, you're closing the way for the grace of the Lord into your life. He wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. But He can't bless you if you're in disobedience, if you're in rebellion. And so we have to come to a place where we are through with our way. We have to come to a place, as Jesus said, where you deny yourself. That means your way. And you take up your cross and follow Him. That means you come into agreement with Him and His will. And when you're in agreement with His will, the portal is open, the rivers begin to flow in and they begin to flow out, and your life was wonderful. It is joy in the Holy Spirit. And He sets you free. So little by little, the Lord begins to deal with us. He begins to reveal things about where we are, about things that are going on in our lives that maybe we didn't even realize were a problem. You know what? We couldn't handle it if God just finished everything right off the bat like that. You know, God takes us through a process. And so be patient with your brother and sister, because they're also going through a process. And they may not be where you think you are. So anyways, turn to your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to use this as our base text. Chapter 10 and verse 3. Here, Paul, of course, is speaking to believers. He's speaking to Christians, the Corinthian church. And he says, "For though we walk in the flesh..." He's not talking that you're living according to the sinful nature. He's just saying that you're in this body of flesh. "We do not war according to the flesh." Unfortunately, sometimes we try to do that. We do a tit for tat. You step on my foot, I'm going to stomp on yours. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal of human origin, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds." So we're going to talk about pulling down strongholds. We need to pull down strongholds in our own lives, amen, in order for us to see clearly to help somebody else with their strongholds. Sometimes we're trying to help somebody else with their problems, and we're not being obedient to God about our own problems. Are you with me? There are people who want to do ministry, but they're not willing to obey God for their own life. If you want to be effective, you're going to have to first get yourself, amen, into the right position for the blessing of God. Then you will be a blessing to other people and you'll be able to help others. Jesus says, first get the beam out of your eye. Amen? Get the board out of your eye, the 2x4. So you can see clearly to help your brother with the sliver in his. Because we got people with 2x4s trying to help people with their slivers. And often it's based upon an arrogance of comparing themselves to somebody else. Or often what they want to do is they want to get it off of them and they want it to be on somebody else. So we'll make everybody else the target of our accusation and our judgments so that it never points to me. So I never have to look at myself. You hear a message and you say, "Well, I'm glad Sister so-and-so was here to hear that." And it may be true, but were you willing to hear it first? So the weapons of our warfare are not of human origin, but they're mighty through God to demolishing strongholds. That word strongholds means a fortified castle, a place of security. And that place of security is a security that the enemy sets up in. It's a thought system that is not submitted to God. This is the problem that we have. It's in our minds. It's in our thinking and our thought systems. Sometimes we accept thoughts that are not God's thoughts, and the devil tells them they're your thoughts, and you take ownership of that thought, and you begin to live your life in that thinking pattern. And as long as you're in that ungodly thinking pattern, the enemy can set up camp in your mind and mess you up. And so through revelation, through the Word, the light comes on, we begin to become aware of this is an ungodly thought system. I should not be thinking this way. I should not be entertaining these thoughts. And so God wants to demolish that thing, but there has to first of all be a repentance in our hearts where we are willing to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in the process. Because if we're not willing to obey God and agree with Him, then we have given place to the devil in our lives. Are you with me? God gave us His Word not to make us miserable, but to set us free. To give us light, to give us guidance, to lead us into the truth, to know what's real from that which is false. So the weapons of our warfare, what are these weapons? How about the Word of God? Amen?
Amen.
How about the name of Jesus?
Yes.
How about the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony?
Amen.
The blood of Jesus, amen, and the word of our testimony. These are the weapons of our warfare. And we need to know how to use the weapons of our warfare. And the Word of God is that which brings light. The entrance of your Word brings light. It begins to expose darkness. We begin to identify, that is an ungodly thought system. I am thinking the wrong thoughts. I'm allowing myself to think in ways that are simply allowing the enemy to set up camp in my life. And so you've got to, first of all, have the humility of heart and the willingness to say, I will agree with you, Lord. I will agree with your word. And thereby I am opening a way for your grace to come in and transform my heart. Because God is in the business of transforming us from the inside out. The world is good at putting patches on everything. Amen? You can paint it up and look really pretty, but it can be corrupt on the inside. We need to be beautiful on the inside. And only God, the Holy Spirit, can do that through a vessel who is cooperating and saying, Lord, I yield myself. I submit myself under the authority, and your word is my guide. Your word is true, and I receive it. You know, a person has received the word of the Lord when their life begins to align with the word of God.
Yes.
It's not enough to say that was a good sermon. Amen. You have to go beyond just saying that was a good sermon and go away and forget about it. Like James said, amen. We need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Otherwise, we are deceiving ourselves. You know what? Unfortunately, especially in America, the church today has become little more than a form of entertainment. That people come and they're entertained for an hour. And we have all the bells and the whistles and the music and the programs and all the pomp and ceremony. And folks, if we don't have the substance, which is Christ, we might as well shut the doors. It's just a social club. It ain't going to help anybody. And there are thousands and thousands, I believe thousands and thousands of Christians who are bound up by the devil, who have not been brought to a place of repentance in their understanding, and therefore they continue to just put patches on everything and pretend through positive thinking that everything is just fine in my life. Just be positive. Whatever happened to godly sorrow that works repentance and awareness that I am a wretch and I need God's grace and His mercy? I need to get rid of these ungodly thought systems. I need to demolish them, cast them down. I need to get the mind of Christ. I need to have my life pure before God. Because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you want Him to fill your life, you've got to agree with Him. God wants to demolish strongholds through the weapons of the Word, the light of the Word. Amen? And the Word also as our sword. There's times as Jesus was tempted in the wilderness that He spoke, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God." Amen? "Serve Him only." He used the Word as His weapon, amen, of even offense against the devil. But you need to first come into agreement with the Word for the Word to work for you. Now, what James said, you must first submit yourself to God. Then resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. When we pray for people to get set free, to get delivered, we first try to pray and say, "God, show us what's going on." I do the same thing in my own life. God, this time that you're going to examine yourself and say, "God, how is it between you and I?" And be willing to listen when He shows you something. Because the only reason He's going to show it to you is because He loves you enough. And because He's going to give you the grace to be free. Oh, hallelujah. I have found over and over again, God is so faithful. If a person is willing, amen? If a person is obedient, that they're going to receive the blessing of God. They'll eat, as the Old Testament says, they shall eat the fat of the land. God will bring him into an abundance of life, a fullness, amen, in the Spirit if you cooperate with him. Hallelujah. And I don't believe there's anybody here that doesn't want that this morning. I believe you all want what God wants. You all want to agree. You all want to be obedient. You don't want to make excuses for sin. You want to say, "Yes, Lord, if it's not good for me, I don't want it. If it's going to be a hindrance to my life, I get it out." And so the first thing is an awareness. An awareness that there's something there. You have people that have... And we're not going to have time today. This is going to be probably, I don't know how many weeks we're going to be in this. But by the end of this, these teachings, I believe is going to have a huge impact on all of us.
Hallelujah.
Amen. But there are involuntary strongholds. These are the strongholds from childhood, generational things, things that you had nothing to do with. You were abused. Things happened in your life. And then there were voluntary strongholds, things that you did in rebellion to God. You sinned against Him. You knew you were doing the wrong thing and you did it anyways. And you opened a door. You opened a way. And then whenever a believer is sympathetic towards sin in his life, rationalizing, justifying, saying, God understands. Hey, God understands you're in rebellion. And what you're doing is you're giving license for the one who hates you, the devil, to mess you up. And He only wants to crack in the door just a little, as the song said, "Sympathy for the Devil" by the Stones. Just give Him a little sympathy. That's all He wants, because one thing leads to another. Just let Him get in the door and He's going to bring some of the big guns in right behind Him. Amen? The more that we are sympathetic towards ungodly thought systems, the more that we're allowing liberty for the enemy to come in and to mess us up. So we've got to change our thinking. We've got to align with what God says. We have to agree with God. And we have to do what He tells us to do. If He says stop it, what part of stop don't you understand?
Yeah.
It's because He loves us. You ever tell your kids to stop? Well, I would hope so. Some parents aren't doing that anymore. And they're going to have monsters. Some of them are already monsters. Come on, Papa God loves us enough to tell us to stop when we need to stop something. Another explanation of this stronghold is a mindset impregnated by hopelessness, whereby you accept as unchangeable a situation or condition which is contrary to the will of God. I'll read it again. A mindset impregnated by hopelessness. People resolve, they give up. They just lose hope. I've tried, I've struggled. Come on, has anybody been struggling with something for maybe many years? Do you know what? God can set you free in a moment. I'm saying God can set you free in a moment. If you can come into agreement with Him. Whereby you accept as unchangeable a situation or a condition which is contrary to the will of God. If it's contrary to the will of God, it doesn't have to be in your life as a believer. You don't have to accept it. And so the first thing we need to understand, folks, is that God is our stronghold. All right? We're not here to magnify evil. We're here to magnify God and the greatness of our God. When we praise God, we're magnifying Him. We're making Him great. We're exalting His name. Amen? Amen. When you exalt the Lord, when you praise God, what you're doing is, when the psalmist says, "Be magnified, O Lord," you're highly exalted. He was making God big in his understanding, in his mind. He began to exalt God in his mind and his understanding. Now, God is big. Well, of course He's big. Amen?
Amen?
But we have to exalt Him in our minds and in our hearts. We have to agree with who He is. We have to come into alignment with the reality of who God is. And we need to speak and proclaim those things of the greatness and the majesty and the glory of the God of gods. Amen? The name above every name. Jesus! You are exalted, Lord! You are victorious! You have overcome the grave! And when you agree with the truth, and you speak the truth, and you proclaim the truth, you decree the truth, it sets spiritual forces in action, in motion. When you agree with the Word of God, the angels are released for you. The anointing breaks the yoke. But when you agree with yourself with ungodly things and ungodly thinking, and you begin to speak those things and decree those things over your life, well, then you bring that upon yourself. You begin to unleash demons. The more that people complain and bellyache, and the worse it gets. Has anybody discovered that yet? You can start getting out. You can get up in the morning and have a rotten day because you start out with one wrong thing, and you didn't catch it and repent right away, and you just said, "Man, I don't care. I'm mad now." And the devil robs you of a good day that God had for you. You don't have bad days if you're a believer. There's no such thing as a bad day for you. Why? Because you have the light of the world with you. This is only a temporary thing. This is only a moment. Amen? This is only a momentary light affliction. This is just a vapor, this life. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims on a journey. We're not camping here. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. And so we are focusing our eyes on Jesus. Amen? We're setting our heart's affections on things above. And we begin to exalt God and declare Him as the God that He is. And that is, He is the God who is our stronghold. He is our defense. I shall not be moved. I will look to the Lord. I will hope in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. And the Lord is my help.
Yes.
As I declare that He is my help, He becomes my help.
Yes.
Wow. Psalms 18 and verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress," the psalmist said, "and my deliverer." There it is, my fortress. "My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He's my shield and horn of my salvation. My stronghold." What is he doing? He's decreeing, he's declaring that which God says is true. He's agreeing with God's will, with the reality, with the truth. If we agree with the other and say, "Oh, it's too big, it's too bad, it's just no way, it's all my life has been a mess, and my life is a mess." And well, the more you say your life is a mess, the more you're aiding to it.
Yeah.
Change your conversation, change your thinking, start speaking what God says about you.
Amen.
I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am a child of His. I am a citizen of heaven. I'm a joint heir with Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. I don't have to stand outside the door and beg. I can come confidently. I just need to agree with God. Verse 3 says, "I will call upon the Lord." Here it is. How many call on the name of the Lord? In those times, you just need to call out to God. Cry out to Jesus, who is worthy to be praised. so shall I be saved from my enemies. Do you need deliverance from your enemies? There it is. Begin to cry out to Jesus. I've seen people that have come up for prayer, and they've come up and they just kind of like, I say, okay, well, you know, you want to be free? Okay, give God praise. Start by giving God praise. Come on, you got to let it out, you know? I've had people come up, they want God's deliverance, but they won't open their mouth and begin to praise God. And then I've had other people that have come up for prayer, and they've heeded that. And you know what? Very little do I necessarily have to do with anything. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's simply that the person is agreeing with God now. And I'm going to begin to decree and declare who He is. And I'm going to begin to praise Him and magnify Him and make Him bigger than my problem, bigger than my issues.
Yeah.
And when you do that and you begin to speak of who He is and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, that He's a complete God. He's a whole God. Amen?
Amen.
He's the one that completes me. He's the one that makes me holy. Then all of a sudden things begin to shift. Things begin to change. And sometimes it requires that the person will give a sacrifice. I'm bound up. I don't feel like it. Just begin to speak the name of Jesus. Just Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And sometimes you just need to say, Jesus!
Yeah.
And break that thing right off you like that.
That's right. Amen.
That's why sometimes we shout up here. That's why at times other people shout. Sometimes it's because God's hitting them with a joystick. And he's, oh!
Yeah.
Jesus! But other times it's going to be just you making the sacrifice of praise. And when we come into the house of the Lord together, we praise Him, amen, we exalt His name, and the Lord is delighted. Praise is more for our benefit, folks, if not all, completely for our benefit. God doesn't need anything. God wants your love, amen? He just wants your love. But God gives us the privilege of praise. It's a way of communicating and agreeing with who He is and His awesome greatness. And as we begin to align with the truth that God is, amen?
Amen.
That God is the Word, that God is the King, that God is glorious, that God is holy, that God is, amen, in control of all things, that He's in charge, that God is sovereign. As we begin to decree these things, then what happens is He begins to become that in your life. Why? Because you're agreeing with truth. But if you agree with lies, you agree with grumbling, or you agree with complaining, you know, you agree with negative junk, and you're starting to think and speak these things, it's usually an indication that there's a stronghold that needs to be demolished in your life. We don't have time to do much further this morning, but let me just say this, that in my own life, I grew up very negative. You know, I grew up in an environment that seemed like that it was just like we couldn't find anything good to say about anything. You know? And maybe some of you can identify with this too. You look at the television set, it was, but negative. You know? And the more of the negativity you spill out, the more negative you become. And then you even like to hang around negative people because birds of a feather flock together and you can just enjoy each other's negative company. And so God saved me when I was 26 years old, and He plugged me into a place where I was surrounded with believers and unbelievers. And one of the guys there was a born-again, Spirit-filled believer. His name was John Deere. You don't forget a name like that, John Deere. But John was always coming in whistling and skipping and singing a song and rejoicing in the Lord. And I get in there and I had all this garbage and this junk and the negativity. And as soon as the machine wasn't working right, you know, there was unknown tongues coming out and all kinds of stuff. And I mean, I was not at all, you know, the model Christian, but I was born again. I knew something had changed. But there were strongholds that needed to be toppled in my life. They needed to be brought down. So God brought this guy into my life. So when I'd say something negative, he'd come along and say something positive. Oh, I hated that. Do you know what happened? After a while, whenever he came around, I never said anything negative. Because I knew what the response would be. But he taught me something through that man, and I learned a lesson. I began to see myself, actually. And he didn't say, "Oh, you're so negative." He just said something positive every time I said something negative. He wasn't judging me. He's just demonstrating to me how I should be, how I should live. You see the difference? We are to be an example to people. Not their judge, but an example. And as he modeled this and demonstrated this to me, I began little by little to wake up, to realize my own self. And how, you know, I just had a foul mouth, you know. I just had stinking thinking going on all the time. And so I began to repent. I said, "God, I don't want this anymore." I don't want to be pessimistic and negative and I don't want to speak like I speak anymore. I was in the Army for 9 years. All I knew was cuss, 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 cuss. And so God began to deal with me, and through repentance and through saying, "God, I'm agreeing with you now. Forgive me. Purify me. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my mind. Cleanse my mouth. Amen. Purge my lips even." And God began to do a supernatural work of grace in my life, and He's still working on me. How about you? How many want to be completely free? Well, Jesus wants you to be free. And so we've got to get into agreement with the Word. So we're going to be sharing more about this in the days ahead.